Sabbath blessings. If you can kneel, please do so. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for blessing us with Sabbath, a day wherein the showbread is changed. Thank you for forgiving us of our sins and cleansing us from all unrighteousness and blessing us with the latter rain so that we can go forth and do that which you would have us do. We pray, Father, that you bless us with good work to do. And for those that are doing the work, we pray for a strong hedge of angels all about each and every one of them. We lift up all those on our prayer list, especially those that are sick. And we thank you for the trials that you allow us, because some of us go through trials none of us could handle. And we thank you, Father, for blessing those that even come against us, especially those that were at one time part of our number. We pray that you bless them with peace and forgiveness and hold not this sin against them. And we thank you, Father, for all these blessings and for keeping us in your will and for letting us be alive in these last days. And to the best of our ability, we offer up this prayer in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and our King, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. All right, we're starting a new study book this week, number 16, I guess. If you just look at on the top right above the conference room, it says the Sabbath Day Notes. And for those of you listening on the phone, if you don't have internet, we're going to keep the phone thing going. I doubt I'll ever get the radio thing back online because the people that listen on the radio have internet to be able to listen on the radio. So if they got internet to get on the radio, they can definitely get in here because this software works on any operating system. So can everybody else hear me? So let's refresh the room. Right, because John can't hear me. He obviously needs to leave and come back in. He's just got a little glitch going on there. So, all right. Okay. And so, all right. So why don't we start right here at the top? But yeah, so it's a Sabbath day study notes. And the very first question is, Paul taught what three subjects concerning the faith in Christ? And the scriptures is, of course, Acts chapter 24, verses 24 and 25. And it says, "And after certain days when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, 'Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee.'" Yeah, that's scary. Yeah, I mean, the time is coming, and as we look around, is already upon us, when unjust laws are going to be passed that will prevent us from sharing the three angels' message openly. Even though this church is growing in leaps and bounds, and this is why we get the attacks, by the way, because the enemy of souls doesn't like what we're doing here, and so then they usually send attacks, and it's rarely, if ever, from people outside the church. It's always people from inside the church that end up being used by the devil. And so with as little time as we have left, we're somewhat far behind in following the light God has given regarding the spreading of the present truth in the large cities. And yes, we have hundreds of workers and scattered far and wide. I think last time I checked there was 760, but there's only a few that really do it in a big way, but we need tens of thousands still, because if tens of thousands are doing it, they're doing it in a in a haphazard way, like whenever they get a chance, which is fine. With tens of thousands of people out there, that's really all that's necessary. And it's just like with the website, we get millions. I don't care much about the millions of hits I get per month. What I like is the fact that tens of millions, last I checked, and I couldn't believe this when I saw this, and this is one of the reasons that Google started to censor us, and I have an actual clip, like a page capture of the page when I went and did the statistics for the site and how many other websites have been linked to us. It was 26 million. And so if you have that many people out there that are sharing the truth that we share, hey, the work is getting done to some extent, but still, many are still trembling as Felix does when the truth regarding our days is made clear to him. But because of thoughts of careers or their or simple, you know, ridicule, you know, like peer pressure, or they don't want to be too religious because their friends will think they're a Jesus freak or stuff. I mean, that never bothered me when I was growing up, and I still can't imagine why that would bother anybody today, but it does, you know, because, you know, even though I wasn't considered like a Jesus freak, like some of the kids would call the teenagers in my high school and in my group of friends, all my friends knew I was religious, but they didn't, it didn't really affect, you know, they didn't tease, well, I don't know why they didn't tease me on that. I mean, I got beat up when I was young for being a goody two-shoes, they used to call me, but later on. And then, you know, it's bound to change if people start to realize that you're not going to stop. But there's other parts of, you know, this problem too, like just plain laziness. Kind of like, well, I don't think Felix was so much lazy as he was fearful, because he said, go thy way for this time, and when I have a convenient season, I'm going to call for you. And we have to work while it is day. And when all those laws pass, the truth regarding the righteousness, the temperance, and the judgment to come will be illegal to share. I mean, they're already censoring our sites. I can't upload videos to YouTube anymore unless I go by their rules and regulations and drop it down to 15 minutes each, which is fine. But if I, because I was talking to Craig about this and others that have had YouTube pages, that when YouTube starts going after you, stop uploading. Because if you continue to upload, they're going to shut you down completely, and then you're going to lose all those subscribers. We have almost 2,300 subscribers. And so what I'm going to do is, you know, like I did yesterday, I sent out a little 30-second clip saying, check out this video, but it's on John1429.org now. And so we need to get busy still. We need to get busy now. As many of us that are physically doing the work are helping those that confirm by eyewitness accounts that the angels of God is helping in a big way to not only spread the message, the Holy Spirit is arousing the consciences of men and women regarding this righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come that Felix was being shared. You know, and I mean, this is why our church is growing and others don't. You know, as a matter of fact, I want you all to keep this in prayer, by the way, because the church is growing so quickly in other nations now that in the Philippines, for example, and I'm looking into this. I just got word about this today. And so I'm going to look a little bit deeper into it and make sure everything's legit, and it's people we can trust and stuff like that. And from my understanding, it is, because these are all people that are part of the camp meeting. But the church is growing so quickly that now they need funds to build another building. Because the area that these people are in now, I don't know if this is the second or the third church, but I know that in the particular area that they're at, they can't just build a building like they do in the other areas, like what they call Nipah hut-type buildings. This one has to have some kind of concrete in it somewhere, because they're in an area that will get a typhoon every single year. And so the building's going to have to be strong enough. And so please keep that in your prayers, because it's, you know, it's not like it, like building a house here in the States. But they're talking about like a 24 by 42 foot building with concrete and all that and the bricks and everything, I guess. It's only $6,000. But still, that's $6,000. And so please keep that in your prayers. And but anyway, we need to continue on with this truth that we're sharing now. And because it opens the eyes of the people that need to repent, and they run to the arms of Christ. And this is why I love doing it in areas like the Philippines or even Mexico, people that are very devoted to their religion, and they trust their leaders. But when you show them basic facts, it brings them into the arms of Christ, because as devoted as they are, they love their God so much that when you share the truth with them, they run with it. They go with it in a big way. They get very, very serious about it. And I've always noticed that about, you know, the Mexican people. See, because my dad, I used to work for him in his business, and he had commercials on the TV, in the Spanish TV in Chicago area. And so 90%, because not all, but 90% of his clients were Spanish. And these people, you know, like I know, they're very, very devout and devoted to their faith, and they're very easy to talk to in regards to that. It's not like Americans, like, well, they'll come up and start screaming at you, especially the Roman Catholics. They'll start screaming and yelling at you when you try to share with them. Now, Craig was telling me about that just the other day, about, you know, sharing, and this one woman just went ballistic. But still, if we had more workers, the numbers would grow at such a rate that those looking on would see it as confirmation that the loud cry has been blessed. And some are starting to notice that too. And this is why some of you are getting letters and some of you getting emails to try to come to a different, because I've gotten the emails from some of you where you've stated that people that used to be part of our number are asking you to come to join with them. But the reason they're not with us anymore is because they're in open sin. And, don't fall for stuff like that. You got to be very, very careful. When they're in sin like that, they always go to places where they know there's a large number of Christians because they themselves can't, the Lord's not going to bless their efforts. And so, but still, be very, very careful in that respect. All right, so question number two. I forgot to put a carriage return error. Hold on. There we go. What? It says, must only the wicked be judged? In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 17, thank you again, my brother, Brother Gorin. It says, I said in mine heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. And, you know, most people in the world feel, because they're Christians, they don't have to worry about being judged, or at the very least, they feel as if their judgment is somehow less strenuous than that of the wicked. But the truth is, according to our Lord, judgment actually starts in the church. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17 says, For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? You know, I mean, being students of prophecy and those that understand the law, we know that the judgment is taking place right now. And it has been going on for some time. And yes, I'm speaking of the investigated judgment. I'm eventually going to put a page on the website about it because some people have a hard time with understanding that. But anyway, Revelation 11 verse 1 says, and there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. We need to remember that at all times we are being judged. Those that strive on to that number that will never see death know all too well about how the Spirit is moving us day by day to avoid certain areas of life that will cause us to sin or even contemplate sinning or even the idle word situation. This is why I used to have that one verse from Matthew that says you're judged by every idle word. And this goes for some of you too that may think it's okay to point fingers at your brothers and sisters in Christ. And without approaching, without doing the Matthew 18 thing or the 1 Timothy 5 thing, you've got to go exactly the way the Scripture says to go. If you don't, you're in a heap of trouble. You are not going to be in that number. You're not going to be in heaven, period. If you're going to deny Jesus Christ and claiming him Lord at the same time, you're in a big, big pile of trouble. Big, big. You got to repent and you got to ask for forgiveness for those that you have offended. But that sometimes is just never happens, you know, because of the way this world is. Hold on a second. Yeah, we got storms moving in, so it's getting dark. Anyway, our God is measuring us. When we walk down a street, when we mop a floor, when we drive a car, we step into a store, I mean, while we're at work or while we're at play, I mean, he's always judging us. We are being measured to see if we can be trusted to reflect Jesus perfectly during the plagues and then throughout eternity. We also need to keep in mind that not only are we being measured by how we do our work or walk down a street or even sit down for a meal, the very spirit by which we do such things is also measured. We may do all the right things so as to appear to be Christ-like before the world, but in our hearts we complain and we grumble about how it would be so much easier not to have to please the Lord every 5 minutes. Well, then you're not a Christian. If you don't have that desire to please him and make your father smile, then you're not part of the family. I mean, a little kid wants to make mommy and daddy smile, right? Well, it's because it's just inbred love. I mean, he loves his mommy and he loves his daddy, right? Well, it's the same thing with Christians. If you truly love the Lord, you're going to do what you can to please him. I mean, if this is the voice of our heart, you know, complaining, then intense repentance is needed, and it is needed immediately. Okay, question number three. Who must appear before the judgment seat of Christ? And 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 says, For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And that's, you know, in other words, everyone, every single solitary person on earth will be judged, not just the wicked and not just the church. When we contemplate all that Christ did for us, we see he made the decision to die for us even before Adam fell into sin. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 4 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." You know, because we fell short, and because there's not one righteous person on earth, Jesus came to be born as a little baby. For those of us that studied his earthly years, we know he was obedient to all that was truth. He came to Jordan. He was baptized. He went into the wilderness to place his flesh into subjection, and for 40 days, no less, he did not eat. I mean, this is another thing that I've noticed. A lot of, especially babes in Christ, have an issue in this area. And this could go on for years and years and years, and they'll stay a babe in Christ. I mean, they can spout scripture left and right. Sure, anybody can memorize the Bible. But if they don't have the Spirit that brings forth that which is promised in John 14:26, where he says, "I'll bring all things to your remembrance," well, then they're just spouting what they've memorized. They're not spouting what their love wants to share. Their heart is not involved in this. They got the 18-inch problem. They got it all in the brain. They got nothing in the heart. And so anybody can memorize Scripture. Because I remember there's times when on the street, I remember this one time I was with this one friend of mine at the time. He was a friend. And we were sharing with this one guy that was living in a cardboard box. And this guy spouted Scripture better than me, better than my friend. And my friend was one of those walking Bibles. You know, he knew Scripture left and right. He was constantly in study. But this guy living on the street, he knew it inside and out. He could spout any Scripture. We woke up in the morning. We took him to the hospital, and they refused him because they said he blew a 4.0. I says, "The man's been sleeping 12 hours, and we've been talking to him for 3, and he's still, 0.40, like 7 times the legal limit or something, or 6 times the legal limit." This is, they wouldn't accept him, of course, but still, like I was saying, anybody can spout Scripture. If they don't follow Christ, then they're just no different than Satan, because I got to tell you, he can spout Scripture better than anybody, you know. And so, speaking Scripture left and right does not a Christian make, because, you know, I mean, you could do the same thing with you got to live it. There's that key. You got to live it. And if you're doing things that Jesus says not to do, that's where Babylon comes in. That's to mix. It's confusion. One minute you claim to be a Christian, the next minute you're walking directly with Satan. So you know what the truth is? You're never actually walking with Christ. You're always walking with Satan. He just makes you think you're walking with Christ. It's like Ozzy Osbourne theology. You know? Yeah, amen. Amen. James 1:29, even the devils believe and tremble. Oh, no, is that James 1:12? It's in James. But, it's just like with certain statements in the Scriptures. I know what they say. It's a hard time. I can't find out where they're at. But, hey, you show me one apostle that gave you a book, chapter and verse. They never did. They would always say Isaiah said this or Jeremiah said that, But still, even though Jesus was in the, and that's what I was getting at there a minute ago too, like him being in the desert for 40 days, not eating, he put his flesh in subjection, and this is where a lot of babes in Christ have a difficulty getting to. You've got to do that at least one time in your life. You've got to get to that point where you realize that, you got to bypass the mirror, you got to bypass the pride, you got to bypass the desire to be recognized and known, you got to bypass the desire to make people think, hey, look at that guy, he really knows his Bible well. He can spout Scripture without even looking at the Bible. Yeah, and then this person wants them to see them doing that. And guess what? It's just like Jesus said, when those people yell on the street corners, "Look at how holy I am," they want acceptance from man, and so they get it. But that's all they get. I don't want any acceptance from man. This is one of the reasons I don't even put my last name anywhere on my website. I don't care what man thinks of me. I really don't. I care about what Christ thinks of me. And this is the way, as Christians, many of you are. But I know some that are even within our number that do have an issue in this area where they're more concerned about their own, you know, they want to be higher up in the church, and even though they're not called to be there yet. Or maybe they are called to be there, but they got to pass these tests first, and they're failing in a big way. But even though Jesus did what he did and all this other stuff, he was still attacked by the enemy of souls in a well-planned attack and overcame so that we too would have the strength that he offers freely to us. We got to follow his example. But everybody wants to, it's just like with the teenager that steps out of mommy and daddy's house when he's 18 years old and goes, he goes to get a job someplace, and he goes, on day one, he wants to be CEO. I says, no, you got to prove yourself. You got to show us if you're trustworthy in that. But no, some of these guys, they want to jump up there and get on a pulpit on day one. Get out in front of the camera. They want to be on camera on day one. They want to be all over YouTube or wherever else on camera so that they can be seen. Yeah, but look at the ones that don't want to be on camera. They're the ones that are getting blessed, aren't they? It's amazing. Those who exalt themselves shall be humbled, and those who humble themselves shall be exalted. And this is why you see so much of that going on now. So Jesus shared the truth with all that had ears to hear for 3.5 years. He healed all that came to him in faith, and his love was made known to all. Many nights he was found in prayer, while those that followed him slept. Even though he did all this for us, those that hated him and his truth plotted against him and constantly spoke evil of him. They slighted his love for them, and eventually they caused him to be tortured and crucified. And even here, where they claimed victory over him, his love for them never faded in the slightest. He still cried out for them to be forgiven, yet they still mocked and ridiculed him as he hung there dying right in front of him. Now, some people say, oh, that's difficult to deal with for us because we're not Christ, for one thing, but you can walk with him. And some people want that revenge or to be avenged, and they don't realize that, hey, you know, the days are coming when that eastern sky is going to split and none of this is going to matter. All is vanity, like Solomon said. If you're more concerned about what the others are thinking of you, you're never going to get to that plateau that you need to be at to be part of the Gideon band. You're going to be called least in the kingdom of heaven. And to be called least in the kingdom of heaven means you won't be there, because the Bible is clear. Everyone that gains heaven will reign with Christ. There is nobody that's considered least in the kingdom of heaven. None. The only way you can be considered least is when you're being spoken of as someone who had not made it. That being said, how can we, a people prone to sin, expect anything less than fearful judgment if we refuse such a love as this? And how do we refuse him as Lord? Of course, it's easy to see how the wicked do it, so I don't have to go there. But how do Christians refuse his lordship? Well, by claiming him Lord, while still embracing sins we know to be sin. How can we look upon our King after all that he has done for us and say, he understands, I'm trying my best, but you know, when I still watch movies or play bloody video games or look upon others with lust in my heart or smoke an occasional cigarette without so much as really trying to stop, or speaking about my fellow Christians, brothers and sisters in Christ, when I think they've done something wrong, I broadcast it to everybody I possibly can so that I can stand up before others as more blessed than they, because look, I found this problem. But again, those who exalt themselves shall be humbled, because usually it's not a problem they found. They just misunderstand. And worse yet, some of us fear to share our faith because we might be ridiculed or harassed. You know, the shy ones among us. But that's okay. You don't have to literally go face to face. You can hand someone a track. You'll be surprised how easy it becomes as you continue to do so over the years. It might take a little while, but eventually you'll be handing people tracks from one hand to the next. You won't just be sticking it in places where they'll find it. We got to remember, Jesus, our Lord, our King, was tortured and killed for sharing his truth so we could have faith later on. Some fear to refuse the beer or the joint that's passed, or even listen to the dirty joke when we gather with those Jesus told us not to yoke with, simply because we want to hang with the cool kids. Yet as Jesus died, he took all the ridicule. He took all the name-calling. He took all the mockery on that cross, all the way up till he breathed his last. Some can't even fast a single meal to show their desire to please the Lord and put their flesh in subjection. Yet Jesus denied his flesh for 40 days, so that we could one day have the same strength and obedience that he has. And worst of all, some Christians can't even bow down to their knees in prayer for 5 lousy minutes to show them they care enough after he spent many sleepless nights praying for them personally. The other toss of the coin is this. There is a people that seek to do all they can to please the Lord. They strive on to that perfection that will see them gain acceptance in that number. They work tirelessly to spread the truth for our day. And there's a lot of you here right now. Some of you I know very, very close. They give all they can for the souls that are roaming this earth, lost and confused. It is these that are judged worthy to be part of that Gideon band, and they will do as prophecy said they will do in these last days. They will glorify the Lord, and many souls will come to find Jesus as Lord and Savior because his truth is just that powerful. It's not ours. We're not the author. He is. That's one of the beauties of being a minister in the Lord or just a street evangelist. You didn't write that book. All you got to do is read it and share it. And yes, all around us are lost, and almost everyone you meet today has a vital hatred for the Lord and his people. But as we look back and see how they hated our king and all the truth he represented, it's easy to see that we're going to be hated too. I mean, this comes with obedience. I'll close with this. Jesus said in John chapter 15, verses 15 to 27, he said this. Remember, this is your king speaking. John 15, verses 15 to 27, he said, "Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I call you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do, all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin." In other words, you're only judged by the light you're given. Had Jesus not shared this truth with them, they would not have been judged sinful. But they have had the words shared with them, and many people today have. So they have no way of hiding from the sin. There's no cloak to cover it up. He goes on to say that, "He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I have not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin, but now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, and the word that the word might be fulfilled that it is written in the law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning." Amen and amen and amen. I hope and pray you are blessed by what you just heard on this Sabbath day. I'll be back in a minute.